All right, the time is 4 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock. A very good morning to you and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop on your talk radio station that is Eagle FM. I'm your host, Lois Oshimi, and I'm delighted, very delighted to have you joining us via our app or the website as usual. So in this segment, we'll engage in important discussion, of course, as usual, about economic affairs, speaking about trade policy, social issues, entrepreneurship. That's what we give you until the hour of 7:30. But before we dive into the latest economic update from Across Africa, of course, do not forget to follow us on our social media platform. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Eagle at Eagle Farm Namibia, and as well as on the Village newspaper page on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, be sure to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel for the daily news update and alert about our newspaper. And stay informed on the go by downloading the very important app that is Eagle FM app, available on both Google Play and the App Store. Now, to start off internationally, that on desertification and drought day, Egypt showcased its effort to reclaim desert land and boost food security. Now, the government and the private sector are joining forces to help turn the North African nation's arid land into a fertile ground. We might take a listen.
Of Egypt shows that population and agricultural land is situated along the narrow banks of the River Nile, leaving most of the country a vast, uninhabited desert area. And this has worsened over the past decades because of desertification.
There are several causes. First, using old irrigation and cultivation systems increases salinization in the land, making it unfeasible for cultivation. Second, building cities and real estate next to agricultural land spoils the land. And third, climate change and global warming leads to drought and desertification.
To combat desertification, the government launched mega projects to cultivate over 6 million acres of desert land in different parts of the country, while also saving on water in the dry nation.
We are using underground water, rainfall, and recycled water to cultivate desert land. We also built desalination plants to provide water resources and also using smart technology in irrigation and creating adaptable seeds. We have greenhouses that produce crops all year round. Egypt's agricultural production increased by 80% in the last few years, while many countries saw a drop in production because of climate change.
The Egyptian president has highlighted the importance of the anti-desertification drive, but acknowledged the high cost of the initiative.
To build the infrastructure alone for only 1 acre costs 300,000 Egyptian pounds to turn a useless desert plot into a productive one. To do the same for 1 million acres costs 300 billion Egyptian pounds. The state is working very hard to provide the funds. We want the private sector to be our partners in these efforts. We build the expensive infrastructure and hand it to the private sector to cultivate the land.
Many companies have been active in the expensive endeavor, including Wadi Nil Company, which grows fruits and vegetables for local and export markets.
Once you're able to pinpoint the products that can resist the extreme weather conditions in the desert, everything else will be easy. The underground water is the main source, followed by Nile water. Potatoes, peanuts, onions, olive trees, palm trees, dates and oranges can all be cultivated in the desert because they can resist the extreme heat and survive the drought.
The company has tapped into agri-tech to improve productivity amid the tough desert conditions.
Our technology works in two phases. We use solar energy to generate electricity for the water wells. We also updated technology for irrigation systems that will save water and irrigate each plant according to its needs, as well as desalination systems.
All right, there you had it. And to move on to Senegal, is that the Great Green Wall for the Sahara is a massive initiative aimed at restoring degraded land. The initiative combats desertification, supports communities, and revives ecosystems hit hard by climate change.
Every day, a group of young people gather at this nursery in Ranerou town in Senegal's Fallou region. Here, they monitor tree plants, maintain the nurseries, and the fruit and vegetable gardens. They're among 50 young volunteer eco-guards recruited as part of the Adaptation Based on Ecosystems, or ABE, project. The project supports the conservation, sustainable management, and restoration of forests.
It's motivating to do this work because these growing trees will be useful for our homes, our fields, our village, and our families. We are motivated, and that helps us to look after our families. It's important to reforest, you know. We hope that this project will continue and be strengthened, and that other young people will join this movement.
We don't want to be like Dakar, where there are no trees. There are too many buildings in the city, but here we have lots of trees and we don't want that to change.
ABE project was implemented in 2023 by the Senegalese government. This follows concerns by residents in Fallo region on the consequences of climate change. Drought, reduced rainfall, and bushfires have been constant here.
The main aim is to help agropastoral communities in the Fallo area to combat these various constraints and become much more resilient in the face of climate change. The project is due to last 5 years and will involve 4 departments, Podo in the St. Louis region, Matam, Canel, and Renerou in the Matam region.
The Fallo region is also located in the area of Senegal, where the Great Green Wall is being implemented. The Great Green Wall initiative is part of a larger Pan-African project aiming to restore degraded land across the Sahel region, specifically from Senegal to Djibouti. It was launched in 2007 by the African Union, and it has already brought life to land. Senegal, which has been proactive in the implementation of the program, reforested 57,000 hectares of land between 2008 and 2021, according to Ecology Society.
All right, there you had it. Now, moving on to South Africa, about the inflation, is that the cost of food still stands out as a major concern in South Africa's consumer price inflation. So now that's as meat, maize, vegetable remain high, according to the latest stats of South Africa's data showing that the consumer price inflation was unchanged at 2.8% year on year. On a month on month basis, as consumer price inflation rose by 0.2% between April and May, and the inflation outcome had been widely expected by the local market, given global and local economic development. We might take a listen to this.
Thank you so much for having me. Now, I think we need to take a little bit of a step back, looking at our local inflation in the context of what is happening in the global environment. And I think, you know, South Africa has been bucking the trend for a number of months now in terms of inflation prints that have even come out below the bottom end of our 3-6% inflation target range. In many jurisdictions around the world, we've seen that the rate or the pace of disinflation, which is still positive inflation but falling, has been quite slow. And so we've seen that this last mile of disinflation, as they call it, has been quite slow in the context of rising protectionist measures such as tariffs and other non-tariff barriers. And so, you know, in South Africa, I would say that we're actually coming off quite a low base. If we looked at the last 12-month period, half of the headline inflation prints that we've experienced since then have actually come out below that 3-6% band. As you mentioned, you know, we've seen a bit of a blip higher on food prices, but I would say that the drivers behind food prices still suggest a modest outlook for food inflation for the remainder of the year. We've seen that on terms of the harvest expectations, we are likely to have a bumper crop this year. And together with well-behaved international food prices, this should keep a lid on average food inflation for 2025.
Given those dynamics, Anisha, how then is the Reserve Bank expected to react to this inflation reading?
You know, expectations out there are quite split in terms of whether the Reserve Bank should act on these low inflation numbers and cut interest rates by another 25 basis points at the upcoming July Monetary Policy Committee meeting, whereas some analysts also believe that we need to take cognizance of the new pressures that have emerged in the Middle East and how that can relate to transport inflation and into our own basket here domestically, together with the potential for a lower inflation target. Of course, we know that that is really the decision of the finance minister at the end of the day, but that will also play a role in determining the amount of space that the central bank has in order to cut interest rates by responding to lower inflation. You know, at the margin, we think that we are very close to the end of this interest rate cutting cycle, given that we've heard from the Reserve Bank why we do need a lower inflation target in SA. They've cited, you know, lower risk premia, higher purchasing power, the potential for more investment in the long run in South Africa. And of course, that would then put a span in the works in terms of being able to cut interest rates by too far in South Africa.
As a parting shot, what could change that near-term outlook, particularly where CPI in relation to interest rates is concerned?
You know, at the moment, we've got this perfect storm of...
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana.
Of factors that are contributing to low inflation in South Africa. Even though we have seen conflict between Israel and Iran, the global price of oil, I would say, has been reasonably capped. And I think that's because OPEC supply could potentially still offset any drying up of supply coming through from Iran. Secondly, our rand dollar exchange rate has also been relatively well behaved, even in the context of, you know, the risk off kind of atmosphere in the global economy. We've seen that rental inflation in South Africa, which is about 15 or 16% of the consumer price basket, has been trending below 3% in year-on-year terms now for 12 months running. And so many of the factors within our inflation basket have been at the lower end coming through there. So we have actually had quite a favorable boost in terms of that coming. But where the risks lie, I would say that international prices of oil are still at risk with the potential escalation in the conflict between Israel and Iran. Although we don't think it's likely at this stage, if Iran had to decide to close off the Strait of Hormuz, about 30% of global international oil supply goes through that strait. And that would then put significant upper pressure on the international price of oil. And that, of course, would then feed through directly into our South African consumer basket via the transport and fuel channel.
Right there you had it. The time is 17 minutes in the of 6 o'clock and this early morning scoop. Now, to move on to the next item in Zambia, is that about 150 traders at Railway Market in Rusaka's George compound have been relocated in order to pave the way for the construction of a modern structure. Now, Lima Ward 30 councillor Daniel Mwewa says over 1 million kwacha under the 2025 constituency development fund has been set aside for the project. You might take a listen.
This is the land secured for the construction of a modern market shelter at Railway Market in George Compound. Last week, the local authority moved in and demolished the makeshift structures in readiness for the works. The traders have been relocated to a temporary trading site not far from their previous trading site. Lima Ward 30 Councillor Daniel Mwewa says over 1 million kwacha under the 2025 Constituency Development Fund CDF has been allocated for the project. He says the contractor is expected to move on site by Monday next week.
So it says the site for the construction of the market shelter at Roadside Market was handed over to a local contractor, a Zambian company. Last week, we were relocating the marketeer to the temporary place, trading place.
A check by ZNBC News found council workers on site still clearing the premise. Some traders are happy with this development.
Our age took 30 years. 30 years.
All right. This time is 19 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock. This is early morning skip. We're still on the international segment until the hour of 6:30. Now, to move on to the next item is that in South Africa, the increased use of the microgrids have come under the spotlight at the Africa Energy Forum that is taking place in Cape Town. The microgrid is a small network of electricity users with a local source of supply. Now, this is as the country prepares to roll out 14,000 kilometers of transmission lines over the next 10 years under the new National Transmission Company of South Africa.
20 presidency is on a mission to ensure that development is people-centered to create solidarity, equality, and sustainability. The G20 Working Group wants to realize the electrification of 300 million households in order to have the people without electricity by 2030.
We need to integrate. But to integrate, we need to harmonize policies, we need to harmonize grid codes. There's quite a lot of things that have to happen. But we should not just only be focusing on electricity trading. We must also focus on other commodities. For instance, trading on gas. Now there's a buzzword around critical minerals. We need to be talking about that. How do we interconnect Africa to be able to trade not only on electricity, but trade on gas, trade on oil, trade on gas resources that needs to be moved across. We need to maybe look at liberalizing the immigration rules so that we're able to move people from one country to another.
South Africa wants to leave a legacy under the G20 for energy security, just energy transition, and an African integration.
If you are to deploy things such as off-grid microgrids or even on-grid microgrids, you are likely to develop communities around your area, and you are likely to also provide the necessary skills that are required for those. And automatically what that does is that it unlocks opportunities for the generation and for the communities around those areas.
Eskom is also preparing to increase the rollout of microgrids.
We have rolled out 40 at least, particularly in the areas in Mpumalanga, but we're looking to roll out even more, like 200 in the next 3 years or so as Eskom, because we found them that they are quite useful, particularly in the areas where you don't have a capacity to do the traditional infrastructure as we know it, the long transmission lines, the areas that are quite difficult to reach. Those are the areas that we are targeting for the microgrid.
Nuclear is pretty much deployable anywhere. With that, it offers a solution to many things like the microgrids. And that if you think of a microgrid somewhere, you can deploy a nuclear plant, provided you capacitate with the right resources. But having said that, in terms of the microgrids, I want to believe that if we follow the African Union slogan of Agenda 2063, which is the Africa we want. The Africa we want is an industrialized Africa. I'm not aware, and it still remains to be proven, of any country that has developed and industrialized massively at the backdrop of microgrids. I believe that we need to look at microgrids as a means to an end of an integrated grid to industrialize Africa.
South Africa is also pushing to assist to provide 1 billion people with access to clean cooking energy sources. Bulelani Philip, SABC News, Cape Town.
All right, there you have it. The time is 23 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now, to move on to the next item is that the construction industry is proactively preparing to adapt the increasingly frequent inclement weather patterns. And this is the view of industry expert attending the Big Five Construct South Africa and South Africa Infrastructure and Water Expo. Now, the heavy rainfall, storms, and extreme temperatures can significantly delay project timelines strongly while posing serious safety risk. Now, however, confidence levels are on the rise within the industry, fueled by planned government infrastructure spending that aim to inject over 1 trillion rand into public infrastructure over the next 3 years. We might take a listen.
Different products and services under one roof. Event organizers say they are promising signs of a recovery in the sector, particularly in light of the government's commitment to invest heavily in infrastructure development.
The whole remit of the government's plan, National Development Plan, and the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, just to make South Africa a construction site, is that mandate is so good because it's going to flow all the way down to grassroots level. So as an industry, we are picking up. There is a lot of opportunity. I think Infrastructure SA also do a fantastic job in facilitating projects and making sure that they are project ready and worth it.
Global weather patterns are forcing industries, particularly construction, to innovate and consider the adoption of climate-resistant materials that can withstand unpredictable conditions. As an industry closely tied to environmental factors, construction is significantly affected by the weather. Decisions related to project plans, material selections, building strategies and construction timelines are influenced by climatic conditions.
If you think about incidences that have been happening in KZN, Eastern Cape and even other provinces, it says to the industry, build differently. And you need to gather around the design boardrooms to say, what does it mean to build differently? What materials do you need? What types of designs do you need? Important element is you must study the geotechnical reports to understand the type of soil that you are building in nowadays and what will happen if it's shaken. What type of foundations should you be working on?
Infrastructure South Africa emphasizes the importance of integrating climate mitigation strategies into its operations. It calls for the use of sustainable and alternative building products.
Climate mitigation strategies are part and parcel of the work that we do in Infrastructure South Africa, as well as the entire built environment space. It's very important that we apply, we start applying alternative building technologies. Alternative building materials, and we make sure that part of the planning is not to put structures like housing, for example, and other types of infrastructure, be it schools, like you mentioned, the schools, be it clinics, be it hospitals. We cannot build those on floodplains, for example, and so part of the planning is to be able to address that and make sure that it's inculcated in the manner in which we're going to be delivering infrastructure in the future. And so that's a matter that's been taken very seriously from our side and as part of planning and packaging for infrastructure projects. We do actually make sure that that is embedded in the manner in which we prepare and package these projects.
Meanwhile, the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs has declared a national disaster following severe weather in the country. It says the magnitude and severity of weather conditions warrants a national response.
All right. Now, to move on to the next item, is that the residents in the Northwest are frustrated about the prolonged power cuts stretching 4 months or rather even years to some. Now they say their daily lives have become unbearable, especially as winter sets in. Now they are calling on Eskom on to solve the situation. However, the power utility has indicated that the problem will likely worsen in July as the result of power line maintenance. We might take a listen to this.
Itsoseng Township in the Northwest have left residents angry and desperate for warmth this winter season. 70-year-old Kidiboni Power says she has not had power in 2 months due to a faulty transformer.
2 months ya kwedi hela ntsike sina motlakase. Boxo eo e ba re yone na le bothata boxo. Wa bo
4 years. She says this is due to cable theft. For other alternative sources of power. Johanna Lekgetho says As an epileptic patient, she often fears that she will have a seizure while cooking on a fire outside.
We might take a quickly short, rather commercial break, and then after that we continue with the next item.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
All right, so welcome back. The time is 30 minutes in the after 6 o'clock and it's early morning scoops. So now to move on lastly on the international segment is that we might take a listen to this discussion on the efforts to curb electricity theft and improve compliance. We might take a listen.
Indigent households to register for free basic electricity. The program aims to improve customer compliance, they say, and to combat theft. Isaac Mangena is City Power spokesperson. Isaac, let's try this again. We know that we were struggling with our connection to you just a bit earlier. But I want to talk to you about the timing of this sort of drive to apply for free basic electricity, for people to apply for free basic electricity, in a context where City Power is sitting in a negative bank balance of almost 17 million rand.
Good afternoon and good afternoon to the viewers. I apologize for the earlier cut in transmission. Yes, we are basically embarking on this program so that we can basically ensure that no one is left outside in terms of electricity provision. And yes, we are doing this at a time when City Power is basically battling in terms of the revenue collection, and that was flagged by the Auditor General, which is something that we have been working on in terms of ensuring that we tighten our revenue controls and be able to go out and get each and every cent that is owed to City Power. But also we are doing this because of most of the gaps or where we are losing money is basically in areas where there are people that are not working on be it in the informal settlement. We go out to disconnect these people where they will complain that they are not working, they don't have enough money to be able to service their electricity or even any other municipal debt. And as such, we took it upon ourselves as City Power that we need to basically ensure that we find these people that are actually are not able to buy electricity, they cannot afford, so that we can bring them on board and we can be able to know exactly how many people we are basically we're losing electricity to. So we are targeting 130,000 customers, where we will start with ensuring that their meter are working. Where the meters are not working, we'll basically install new meters for free so that they can be able to qualify for this service. So this is also part of revenue drive that we have been doing for some time.
But Isaac, the Auditor General doesn't say that City Power is in the red because of something like revenue collection or a lack of revenue collection. What the AG says is that it's as a result of mismanagement.
Yeah, mismanagement does not mean Mangena stole the money and left with it. Mismanagement may mean that some of the processes were such that you are not able to follow certain measures or principles that are contained in the regulations. For example, we did explain this, that the one of the things that the Auditor General flagged was the 4.8 billion rands that was basically spent by City Power, money that we did not budget for. And the reason why we did not budget for that money was because we made our projections with load shedding in mind, knowing that if load shedding continues as it did last year, where 300 days or so we did not have electricity, then it means we may not be forced to buy as much as we wanted to. So during the midterm review, we basically reviewed down the sale or the purchase of electricity, bulk purchases from Eskom, but Lord and behold, that was basically cut short. Because load shedding was suspended, and it meant that we needed to spend money to basically buy electricity. So that is basically that we basically spent money that we actually did not budget for. So, and the Auditor General that you are citing actually does indicate that in the report. But we are also putting some measures, of course, to deal with some of the issues that the Auditor has already led, the issues around the SEM processes, and so forth. So that those are some of the things that we are doing. But this FBE program is really about us basically going back to the people that are supposed to be buying electricity, but they're not buying electricity. But remember, this money, we're actually getting it from the Treasury. Is the money that already the Treasury would have given or give to City Power to say you need to basically, as part of the social package, you need to give the same amount of electricity to those that are not able to afford. These are pensioners, a childhood at home, and so forth. And that's basically what we are trying to basically get to, because in any case, we
All right, there you had it. The time is 36 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and that is early morning scoop. We might take a listen to a very short commercial break, then once we return, we'll take you through the local news update. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary.
All right, the time is 36 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. So welcome back. And if you just tune in right now, a very good morning to you, and welcome to the early morning scoop. Now, to start, we might take a listen to an update on the annual inflation rate for May. So Namibians' annual inflation rate for May 2025 was recorded at 3.5 year-on-year, a decline from 4.9% in May 2024, and decreased from 3.6% in the preceding month. Now, this slowdown in inflation can be attributed primarily to the transport category, whereas the food and non-alcoholic beverages sector contributed significantly to inflationary pressure. Month-on-month, consumer prices increased by 0.2%, maintaining the very same pace as in April. Now, in state, monthly inflation reflects a modest increase in food and alcohol prices, a slight rebound in transport-related costs, and a decline in housing services. Now, furthermore, core inflation for May was registered at 4.1% year-on-year, down from 4.3% the previous month. Now, Namibia's core inflation, which is exclude volatile food and energy prices, remains higher than the headline rate, highlighting persistent underlying pressures in sectors such as healthcare, education, and of course, housing. Now, those figures indicate an easing of inflationary pressure across the broad economy, not withstanding the rising cost of living attributed to a volatile component. Now, the transport category, which also constitutes 14.3% of the national consumer price index basket, experienced an deflation of -1.3%, sharply revising at 7.7% increase noted in May 2024. Now, this shift was driven by a substantial 7.8% decline in fuel prices and a slowdown in vehicle prices inflation. Now, the deflation within the transport sector helped to mitigate the rising cost seen elsewhere in the consumer basket. Now, the average annual inflation from May 2024 to May 2025 was 3.8%, while the inflation rate for the fiscal year, that is June 2024 to May 2025, settled at 3.7%. Now, the year-to-date average inflation currently stands at 3.6%, suggesting a broad and stable inflationary environment, despite category-specific frustration. Now, the good inflation has moderated to 3.0% year on year compared to 6.2% a year ago. Now, while services inflation has accelerated to 4.2% year on year, up from 2.9% observed in the same month in 2024. Now, we might take a listen to one of our economists, Peter France, gave us this update, whereby my colleague also gave us this update, that is by Moshela Lokolo. You might take a listen.
Okay, as we are still looking back onto our morning scoop, we are now looking on inflation. When we are speaking of inflation, in general, is the increase of prices of goods and services causing the purchasing power of a dollar to be weakened, money lose value. This costs more than they used to, while income for many is the same. And for many Namibians, this is more than just a theory. It is a daily reality as price of basic goods go up. In May 2025, Namibian annual inflation rate stood at 3.5% year on year and slowed down from 4.9% in May 2024, but slightly down from 3.6% recorded in April. While this seems like progress, many households continue to feel the pinch, especially in areas like food, fuel, and transport. Much of what Namibia consumes is imported, so globally economic shifts can quickly push up local prices. That raises an important question. Are we doing enough to take control of our economy and shield ourselves from future prices and increase? However, more on this, we are going to be speaking to Peter France, who will be engaging us more or elaborating more on when we are talking of inflation. Good morning, Mr. Peter.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I am very much fine. Looking onto this, we are still standing on that question. Are we doing enough to take control of our economic shield, to shield ourselves from the future price increase?
I think we are pretty doing good. The problem comes when the inflation is imported from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And also that when the prices goes up during a certain period of time, they take them to go down, or they sometimes they never go down.
Okay.
So investigations will result in prices being high.
Mm-hmm. However, what are the main causes of this inflation in Namibia, and are they mostly local driven, or are they mostly local driven by things like fuel? Because I see mostly we import fuel, and that is, I believe that is one of the mostly costly thing. Is it one of the inflation that caused prices to go high?
Yes. So the price of fuel is mainly the driver of inflation. If the price of oil goes up, we expect a huge rise in inflation. However, there's also a certain percentage that comes with goods that we buy from abroad, or anything that we buy from outside countries.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also some is the goods of our own people. So when production becomes expensive in the country,
mm-hmm.
so the domestic people, what they do in terms of making profit, they also push prices up, which also contribute to inflation. So mm-hmm. it's mainly imported, but also partially it's domestically contributed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On this, how does this inflation affect small businesses, informal traders, and unemployed youth in Namibia?
Yeah, so when the inflation is high, that's when the central bank steps in trying to stabilize the inflation. So they either increase the interest rate. So when the interest rate is increased, borrowing becomes very expensive. So it disadvantages the SMEs.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 2 kg Rite brand golden brown sugar for only $37.99 each. And 5 kg Topscore Super Maize meal for only $69.99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 22 June 2025. Only at ShopRite.
Omudiha utekirwaka guna ii matina omjo.
Affect small businesses, informal traders, and unemployed youth in Namibia.
Yeah, so when the inflation is high, that's when the central bank steps in trying to stabilize the inflation. So they either increase the interest rate. So when the interest rate is increased, borrowing becomes very expensive. So it disadvantages the SMEs because they, not all of them might have access to borrowing, and maybe not all of them be able to afford to pay back the loans that could they borrow and also perhaps use for their business operation. Mm-hmm. So the inflation negatively affects the operations of SMEs when it comes to finance sourcing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you have mentioned of the imports. I see Namibia imports most of its food and fuel. Do you think the country should invest more in local production to reduce dependency and price shocks that we get from other countries?
Yes, absolutely. If you see in Namibia, going to the side of Otavie, Grootfontein, and Tsumeb, you can see that there's a lot of plantation that happens there. There's a lot of food production that happens there.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can perhaps promote our own production, mm-hmm. and also just to finance or subsidize this kind of products, I'm sure we can sustain ourselves when it comes to food security. So, and also there were also some reports that shows Namibia importing 21 million worth of potatoes. It's not worth it, because these are things that we can make in our own country. Not we can,
mm-hmm.
but these are things that we also plant in our own country. Also people that playing these things in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you go to, let's say, any local shops, let's say like Havana for way, side of anywhere you find tomatoes, people sell those kind of goods on a cheaper price,
mm-hmm.
because we do make them in the country, just that people don't have the market, like to who they sell, because
mm-hmm.
We don't know what the reason why our Namibian products are not doing on the market, but surely we can sustain ourselves.
Okay, maybe just before we close off our interview, is there any other thing that you would like to add regarding the inflation that keeps, it seems low but still affects our people?
Yes, the thing is when prices goes up, right? Mm-hmm. When prices goes up, they hardly go down. It's either the prices can only go down when there's a low demand of this particular product, Mm-hmm. Or if the demand remains the same, unfortunately, prices don't go down anymore. That's the impact of inflation. When prices pushes up, mm-hmm. they hardly go down. It's like it will really, it's to be like a long run for them to go down. But other than that, they hardly really go down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Franz. Have a good day.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
All right.
All right, there you had it. When the prices are higher, or when the demand is high, then of course the inflation will be higher. However, while if the demand is lower, then of course the prices or the inflation rate will go at least also down. We might take a listen to another segment, or moving on to another subject, is that the national hospitality and tourism sector is essential to the country's economy and significantly contributing to a GDP, employment and foreign exchange earnings. Now, it is also a major employer, offering numerous jobs opportunities across various sub-sectors, including lodging, food services and tower operations. Now, this sector also plays a very crucial role in Namibia's development by fostering communities, involvement, promoting sustainable practices and providing economic beneficial to local communities. Now, the tourism sector has now proposed a national partial development master plan, an ambitious initiative aimed at increasing direct employment in tourism from the current 57,000 jobs to 80,000 jobs by 2030. Now, as tourism is one of the country's key economic pillars, the restructuring is expected now to attract further investment, improving infrastructure, and of course diversify tourism offering across various regions. Now, we will now engage with Aude Heita Kambuta, a stakeholder in the hospitality, of course, tourism industry, just to explore this topic further, and of course discuss the potential impact of the National Partial Development Master Plan. We might take a listen to this particular discussion.
Okay, as we are busy looking back to our morning scoop, the Namibia sector has significantly transported as part of the proposed National Development Master Plan. This ambition plan or aims to boost a direct employment in the tourism from the current of 57,000 jobs to 80,000 jobs by the year 2030. With tourism being one of the country's key economic pillars, the restructuring is expected to attract more investments, improving infrastructure diversity in the tourism offering across all regions. With this, we are going to be engaging with Yehuda Heita Kambuta, who is in the tourism industry. So he's going to elaborate for us more on this. Good morning, Yehuda.
Yeah, no, good morning, Palisa, and good morning to your listener all over this beautiful country, the land of the brave, and the pleasure to be here with you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Heita. As we are looking onto this, before we just dive in, can you just elaborate for us how this expansion of tourism sector will be creating direct job opportunities for the Namibian unemployed youth?
Tourism Partial Master Plan is a beautiful thing. It's a good endeavor for the country, mm-hmm. because it highlights the aims of to drive the industry diversification, mm-hmm. and I think with the aim to attract new investment and prioritize sustainable development, mm-hmm. By leveraging local resources and promoting community involvement. You know, tourism has the capacity to create jobs. If this is well executed, it will create jobs, support the local entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. job in the tourism sector, particularly in the rural area. Mm-hmm. So it only if it's well executed.
and embraced by all Namibians, since tourism is everyone's business. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, but with on your side, you being in the tourism sector, how are you guys, how do you think you are going to benefit from this for you to be able to maybe create enough jobs?
We can come up with a lot of policy document, a national document, which I aim to develop and create job for the country. We, Namibia have one of the best policy, mm-hmm. but if the policy are not implemented, mm-hmm. then there will be no job creation. But again, I'm saying if it is well executed, well embraced by everyone, mm-hmm. and the fund is made available, especially to those who are passionate and have energy for and love for the country and to create jobs in the hospitality and the tourism sector, mm-hmm. then we'll create jobs. I think the first, what we have to do is to make funds available for the youth who would like to participate in this endeavor. If the plan is well executed and we see investment coming in the country and partnership with the local SME, and then we'll create jobs. But again, it must be embraced by everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In your own perspective, they said this will be in 2030. Do you think it will be, okay, if they are to implement this, do you think you will reach the 80,000 job creation? Do you think Namibia will be able to reach this 80,000 job creation if this proposal is well carried out?
Yeah, why not? Dream can come true. If it is a dream, mm-hmm. dream can come true. Some dreams have come true, but they don't come true by themselves. We how do you create jobs? Is a policy like this? Reach out to the youth, that especially those in hospitality and tourism, those that want to come up with this business plan of to invest in hospitality and tourism, being a lodge, being a travel agent, being a tour operator, being a laundry, being a motel or a restaurant for that matter. But then how do you find out? You must go out there to the youth and speak to them. Remember, 70% of the population in the country are youth. But then how do you find out from them who have interest and a passion to take place to participate in this endeavor? So as long as you reach out, we reach out to the youth out there and assist them with their entrepreneurship desire and skills and make funds available. And after that, monitor them, assist them. Then we will create a job. So dream can come true. There's no doubt about it. If it's well implemented, we can create this the estimated jobs.
Okay, so you think looking at the youth, that should be the most focused part when it comes to this proposal master plan?
We focus on the youth. The future belongs to the youth. Mm-hmm. If we do not equip them now,
okay.
5 years, 10 years from now, they will reach a certain age and they still have nothing. Especially for, it's only, I think, the hospitality, tourism and manufacturing that can create jobs for our people. Remember, if you are to run a travel agent, a tour operator, a coffee shop, mm-hmm. a bistro, you don't need it. You don't need a PhD or master degree. Have a basic understanding of vocational education, tertiary education, and if you have entrepreneurship skills and passion and love and energy for that, integrate. We can set up quickly these things. We just need support. The financial sector must come in, especially the one of the government. I don't believe in private institutions that for finance, because all banks, these banks that are here, they don't belong to us. So I don't believe them that they can assist. If they can, they would have done it. So I believe only the government can create millionaires. So we need the millionaire in hospitality and tourism. Mm-hmm. It's only the government that can do that.
Okay. Looking at to this development master plan, what do you think are some of the challenges that is being implemented in this plan?
Look, Eagle FM, as I said before, the master plan aims to drive industry diversification, mm-hmm. yeah, attract new investment. Mm-hmm. Now, the colleagues that are engaging into this master plan, they are right now engaging with all the 14 regions, collecting data. Mm-hmm. If the data are collected and interpreted mm-hmm. very well, mm-hmm. we have no doubt to implement this master plan. Yes, unknown factors mm-hmm. can come in, but we can be aware some of these unknown factors. Namibia is a very beautiful country, peaceful, diverse culture. If you have peace in the country, then there will be no major factors that will hinder the implementation of the master plan. Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. for us to implement this master plan, it must be done concurrently with the National Sustainable Tourism Growth mm-hmm. and Development Strategy and with the National Investment Promotion and Profile Strategy, mm-hmm. which has the aim to achieve the tourism growth that generate jobs for Namibia and to make Namibia the most competitive destination.
Hello Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional.
For us to implement this master plan, it must be done concurrently with the National Sustainable Tourism Growth mm-hmm. and Development Strategy and with the National Investment Promotion and Profile Strategy, mm-hmm. which has the aim to achieve the tourism growth that generate jobs for Namibia and to make Namibia the most competitive destination mm-hmm. in SADC, even in the whole Africa. So, but only if the data collected are interpreted very well into a Namibian context. Mm-hmm. But if they are not interpreted very well, then this thing will not become a reality. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Yaude. However, before we close off, are there any message that you maybe like to send out to the youth that are looking forward to go into the tourism sector or maybe our government when it comes to this development master plan?
Yes, my brother and sister out there, you get out there, get your basic skills in hospitality and tourism. The TVET policy is very clear on embracing the youth and making the TVET available to all the youth. Once you acquire your skills in hospitality and tourism, and then they reach out to the government for financial assistance. The government is there for everyone. They can assist you so that you can set up your establishment in hospitality and tourism. And then to the government, for us, the Minister of Tourism, to make this thing a reality. The government have to create millionaire in hospitality and tourism. They must support those SME that are out there. In fact, they must develop a website which can be managed, regulated by Namibian Tourism Board, where we have a database of our SME, that those that are in any business, being souvenirs, being a restaurant or anything, and then it must be everywhere with all ambassador commissioners everywhere in the world. There must be a database with all the local business. I think that's where we can support the SME in this country. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
It's 3 minutes in the afternoon, 7 o'clock, and this early morning scoop there. You heard it from Eude Kambuta in the tourism sector, whereby he is also just emphasizing that, okay, this can also happen. However, maybe the business people in that sector already, or whether they are having restaurants or they own restaurants or lodges, they need also that help, and also to create a database on those that are already in the sector. And of course, if there's that serious and the research that will be made on who want also to join the sector, and those that also helped already within the sector already, this can be implemented, or this can be can happen of getting or producing or that's producing maybe 80,000 job or 80,000 jobs by 2030. It can happen, but however, Kambuta said that only if that the seriousness of helping those those in the sector already, and maybe also those that are interested to venture into or to go into the sector can able to come in. Now we might take a listen to the next item. To move on to the next item, many Namibians have donated their bodies to University of Namibia, that is UNAM, increasing the number of donors from 11 to 15 in just 4 months. Now, to help us understand the significance of those donation, of course, the body donation actually for medical students, actually. So we are joined by Dr. Albertina Itana to unpack this for us. A very good morning to you, Doctor, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, dear.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing great. And how are you?
I'm very well.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe just briefly speak to us about how will the increase in body donation assist in pathological studies and, of course, provide practical opportunity for the students at large.
Okay, it's a good news mm-hmm. to the nation mm-hmm. That usually when medical trainees are trained, we are usually trained on the human body, mm-hmm. and there are different purposes and different benefits which we get out of that training.
Mm-hmm.
Having human body mm-hmm. donated for practical purpose for the student is a great achievement.
Okay.
The student will benefit mainly for 3 purposes.
Okay.
We get one purpose, which is a histology, where the student will get the tissue will be taken from this organ,
mm-hmm.
and the student will be demonstrated how does the organ look like
mm-hmm.
as a normal histology, so that when a student is presented with the liver, they know how does the liver look like
okay.
on growth when they are looking at it with their naked eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But then if it is put on the microscope, they will be able to identify the liver or the kidney, the structures of the lungs and everything,
mm-hmm.
which will make them to understand
mm-hmm.
the histology of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 is the anatomy.
Okay.
The presence of the human body in those laboratories will make these kids or this student to understand the anatomical structures of the body.
Mm-hmm.
You will be able to know how many lobes does the lungs have, how long are the structures like the urethra, how long are the human body, the human bone, how many bones are on the body, and how can you identify the structures, especially when it comes to the vascular structures.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know how can you identify the vein when you are going to put in the cannula for you to put the patient on the IV fluid, and where are the nerves when you are injecting the patient and everything, so that you can prevent the injury of the nerves and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are putting in a needle on the patient, you must know the anatomical structure so that you can not pinch or damage the the big vein or the being artery so that the patient cannot bleed excessively. So it is very, very good achievement. The other thing, then, the pathological findings of the body, because now I think as much as we people want to donate the body, we also need to have bodies which have got pathologies. So a body with a cancer, a body with a TB, a body with other type of disease, then the student will be able to learn about these diseases, how to diagnose them, and even the possible treatment, be it a medical training, be it a surgical training, then they will be told if this was a tumor like this, this is how it should be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the three main benefits. We also need probably to add that we have heard that it, some institutions, students have been taught through the dolls. And you cannot really learn much using the dolls other than using the human body. So it is very, very good that we finally managed to get bodies which can be help our student to be trained when it comes to human anatomy, physiology, as well as histology.
So maybe can we expect more surgeries to be performed locally?
At this stage, I might not say that a lot of surgery could be done locally.
Mm-hmm.
But more a better understanding of the human body and physiology and the diseases. Because remember, these are undergrad students. So what we are going to get from here is them to understand all the structures of the body, how does the physiology work, and when the diseases are occurring, where does it occur? Which type of disease do you find in the lungs? Which type of disease you find in the skin? Which type of disease you find in the kidney or in the liver? So it's more the understanding of the human anatomy, the physiology and the disease. But when it comes to surgery, this is a different level where the general doctor now need to go through a training, which is at the institution, which is supervised by specialist, and even by a professor in surgery. So we still have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can tell you that if we happen to have this student trained with this body, when it comes to the general practice, they will be better off than those one who have been trained using the dolls. And now, it can also aid them to understand so that when they want to specialize, they know the organ and the system in which they want to specialize. So it will also make it easier for them to understand and grasp the knowledge when they are going for those specializations.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not say that the surgery will be done locally recently, but we still need to go a little bit further. Just want to applaud the university and those one who are entrusted to train the student.
Okay.
If the student happened to be placed in the hands of those of the subject expertise, then I think they will come up with a knowledge which will benefit all of us. Remember, when these students are trained at the School of Medicine, there are young doctors who are coming up, who are coming to treat all of us.
Mm-hmm.
In future, I will not be able to sit where I'm sitting, but then I am expecting somebody who will be sitting in the office where I'm sitting, or to sit in the clinic where other person is sitting. And then these are the kids, the students who are going to treat us. So when you train students, you want to train students who will be able to look after you when you are not able to practice anymore.
Thank you so much, Dr. Itana, for having you today.
Thank you very much.
All right. Right there, you had it by Dr. Abeltina Itana, whereby she says that like donating the body is the most crucial to them, whereas she said that of course the students or the pathological students can able to identify or see organs or witness organs, actual organs, or be it liver, be it kidney, lungs and so forth. And of course, they can also able to, witness the anatomy structure, of course, by seeing it actual and, by also identifying the veins in the body and, the bones also, they can able to do that because, she said that most of the students just use dolls instead of the actual body. We might take a lesson to the next item whereby my colleague, Belna Seaman spoke to Mark Ngihepavali, who just to help us understand actually the specific factors that led to accumulate of such a substantial depth to four companies. We might take a listen to this particular discussion.
Yeah, dear listeners, EGL FM listeners, let's continue proceed with our early morning scoop. Today we are going to look on four companies, like the companies that are facing bankrupts over 381 million NAMCO debts. So this is often due to financial struggles and market downturns. I know these can also have significant consequences, including job losses, potential environmental cleanup liabilities, and financial losses for investors. So today we are going to engage with one of the business analysts, Mark Hengali. Good morning, Mark Hengali, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Morning. Thank you very much. It's Mark Hengali, not Hengali.
I'm sorry. It's who?
Mark Ngihepavali.
Oh, yeah, Mark Ngihepavali. Okay, I'm sorry for that. Okay, we are going to engage with Mark Ngihepavali, one of the business analysts. I hope he's going to tell us more on this. So my first question, Mark, is that what specific factors lead to the accumulation of 381 million in debts to four companies? Or what do you think about this?
Okay, thank you for this opportunity. Just want to say that like the specific thing that was highlighted by the court is just about these two companies not having met the agreement that they put up or that they set up. That the four companies did not pay the amount that or the amount value to the oil that they get as per the agreement. So if they could have paid, then this could not have happened. So on whatever happened or the reason why they did not pay that amount, I think that's on them. So it can be a lot of reasons, maybe some administration, maybe, you know, it's business. Mm-hmm. So and whether there is something fishy or something wrong, or just the main issue here is just that they're supposed to pay back as per the agreement, and then if business, they're supposed to make business, sell oil, and then be able to pay back the money as per the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, my another question is that, confusing your name. So my another question is that what measures are in place to prevent a recurrence of such excessive debt accumulation?
So I cannot really say there is something in place, but I should say there must be something to be put in place in terms of what happened, because these are the situations that have to be assessed by the lawmakers and then by the legal officers who have good understanding in terms of legality, and then be able to spot out what is wrong with this agreement that led to that to happen. Although I understand that the companies will be liquidated, there's still an issue of job losses. There's still an issue of this company is not continuing, an issue of loss of income to the owners, an issue of a very bad image to the foreign investors, like what you have said in your introduction. Mm-hmm. So these things have to be avoided. So we have to look, or they should look, for those loopholes in the agreement that can maybe lead to the tracking of the selling of the like of oil, like in terms of where their clients are being traced, and then they go to be able to detect maybe early that these companies are in this kind of situation that is not in the provision. I can't say it's nothing, but in case if it's detected early, then it can be prevented early. So mm-hmm. that's one of the suggestions that I'm giving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so apart from that, Mr. Mark, so how does this affect the Namibian economy, and how can we effectively mitigate its negative impacts and make a stable growth in the world economy?
So NAMCO is not an individual company. It's a parastatal. So that means that any profit it's making, it's coming into the Namibian economy and belongs to the country. So it really has a big effect. And then if you look at the amount that you're talking about, it's not small money. It's a huge amount of money. I'm talking about millions. This is the amount that can even build schools, can build hospitals, can build. I'm not saying it was meant for that, but I'm just saying the value of the money that was lost in this, it's really a lot. So it can not be correlated. And then it's high time that NAMCO pull up their shorts, because they are not just in this case. They have a lot of other things that are going on with NAMCO. The company is not just that clear. So they have a lot of issues. And then this really has a very big effect to the country. Foreign investors, not even just only foreign, even local investors, like you hesitate in terms of wanting to invest in this kind of organization where you don't see trust, because you want to be investors who want to have their money or assets with companies that are proving to be trustworthy, and then they can be a little bit sure that they won't be betrayed by the agreement that they will be having to make with this company. And then we are a company that is even talking about oil, and then as much as we are talking about oil and the visions that we have with oil, so how are these going, things going to be, to become real? And then, even when we are talking about this outside the country, and then we have this kind of issues that are happening in the country, because, these cases are not only, or the newspapers and these headlines are not only being read in the country. They are all over. You can search for this and get it from anywhere. Any investor will first analyze the situation, analyze the industry, and understand it in that country before they invest their money. Mm-hmm. So these are really big issues that are there, and then they cannot be taken lightly.
Okay. Our final question is that, or I would like to ask this question, maybe what are the terms of the company's financing agreement, and what is the company's burn rate?
Can you come again?
What are the terms of the company's financing agreement, or what do you think about the agreement, especially, or what is the company's burn rate when it comes to these situations they are facing right now?
The company's, what the terms that are there that what led to the agreement.
Yeah.
So I know that obviously they have to be basing it on a certain act that they used to be able to supply this oil to these companies. And then, that's why I'm saying that's where also a loophole can be, because, people that have been in this industry, know a lot about the industry, and then they know the act, they know everything, and they know what they have to apply to, but at the same time, they also know where the loopholes are. So they can make use of those loopholes and then make use of them for their own advantages, and then not also being patriotic to their own country, because this isn't supposed to happen by a person who has a country at heart. So, but for those guys that have been in the industry, and not only in this oil industry, it can be also in any other industry. So when you are dealing with a certain industry, specific industry, you get to understand a lot the law and everything, and then you also get to know where the loopholes are. And then these are the things that you're supposed to spot out and then raise them and get to be sealed right away before anything happens. Eh? Mm-hmm. But for people, or for some of the business owners, they take them as an advantage to steal from their own country and then have their own country not going really forward as planned, as they are limiting that. So, mm-hmm. but, yeah.
So that's how quickly they are losing the money.
Yes, so that's how the money is going. So, you know, even how the country has been rated as the most unequal country in the world, second most unequal country in the world. So those are the things. Yeah? There are government institutions that are even willing to assist, or they have programs to assist entrepreneurs to grow, and then we have our very own people taking advantage of that. When they get something and then they just misuse the funds, they don't abide to the rules, and they don't pay back. And then that affects to the country, and then even an effect to the program that's supposed to better fund other programs or fund other entrepreneurs. But I'm not saying that this company's got funds or got this, but I'm just relating to this as an effect of it's an effect of what happens when companies don't pay tax, because it really affects the whole nation, mm-hmm. not just individuals. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So apart from that, Mark, so do you think this company, are they going to meet their obligations, or are they going to meet their immediate obligations?
The case is still not yet finalized because they got a chance. They got a chance to go. Told that they should. I think they were given a deadline of when they have to give any reason of in case they think they should not be liquidated because the liquidation was granted on a certain act, and then if they have to oppose them, they have to do it within that limited time. So I think we can't really say much about what's going to happen or what has to happen because we don't really so far have all the full information about these companies and then what they are saying about the liquidation, why they are also not paying this money. So I think we really have to a little bit wait until the whole case is done, and then we can be able to factually talk about some of these factors.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mark, for being with us on Early Morning Scoop, and I would like to say have a blessed day ahead.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, the time is 26 minutes in the of 7 o'clock. And here is you go. Get all your essential products to just $99 only at USAVE. 1 kilogram of Rice King, 1 kilogram of Top Score or rather Bokomo, a super maize meal, 1 kilogram bag of Sugar King, whether it's white or brown sugar, or get also 750 milliliter of Right brand sunflower seed oil, or rather get 500 grams of Pasta Polana or Pasta King, and just pay $99 only up to Sunday, the 22nd of June 2025. And of course, you save. Yes, we all save at you save.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription,
10% discount for 6 months subscription and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace.
All right, it's 28 minutes in the of 7 o'clock, and this is Early Mornings Cube. And that was it. Thank you so much for joining us today on our Early Mornings Cube. And, of course, I wish you again to stay tuned for the next program, that is the unpacking of the day. But before I close off, I want to remind you to not forget to connect with us and catch up or follow us on our social media platform, that is Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And, of course, we have the Village Newspaper page on Facebook, Twitter, and of course Instagram, as well as the channel that is Eagle FM, Eagle FM Media House channel. We have it on WhatsApp. Please don't forget to subscribe, and so that you can catch up also for the daily news update, and you can also catch up on the newspaper alerts. And yes, you can able to catch up with the newspaper. The newspaper will be out tomorrow. Do not forget also to catch up the billers on the WhatsApp. And of course, maybe if you don't have now the WhatsApp or something like that, if you're not subscribed to the WhatsApp channel, you can able to send through your detail to 081-241-44. There's a number you can also save that, so that you can be getting the newspaper every day it's released. And so on that note, thank you so much and have a good day.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace.
Pena we parwe pena ombil khaivule ponda ndo za Shoprite ela rakato chetu okukupa onda to dilipevi pipumbi wa ihe to pumbwa esko ke khaita ra kolita ri moyo makini konya go right brand long life ko dromiro ngombali ne imwe no senda o miro go ino go pasho ke ji imwe shuma ntano ye package ntimbu ya romba kade fayo real good ko dromiro ngo khali no go o senda mina go ino go tindo kufuta shivuli se ponda ndo to Shoprite price zirikoso mbalina gari gayuni nuvo oko Shoprite akoke
Omudia, utekirwa kabuna, matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha ukakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira seoma, onara heta tuimwe. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend,